SOP276. Today, we're going to talk about the 2,000 reasons why podcasting is better than radio. And we're going to talk with Kevin Mulrine, who's on episode number 2 of his podcast. And wait till you hear, number 1, how he's promoting his podcast. And number 2, how just in 2 episodes, things are moving quickly.
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so much for tuning in. This is where we talk about all things podcasting. If you want to learn how to podcast, this is the place. From planning to producing to promoting, all of the points in between, the tools, the tips, the feed burners, the iTunes. You need it, you got it right here, one place, schoolofpodcasting.com. If you'd like to email me, my email is dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments as well. Toll free, it's 888-563-3228. And we have so much information today that I actually am thinking of putting out a show later in the week. I'm getting backlogged. I've talked about that in the past, that when you have a big, just huge amount of information come in, don't just spill it out all at once, but pace it out. But we've got a lot of great stuff. And so what I want to do is I want to start with why podcasting is better than radio. And this is an interesting story. It is October 2nd as I record this. And I don't have the final numbers, but you know what? It doesn't matter. I have a podcast called Quiet Study Area. And to make a long story short, I haven't done an episode of this show in 2 years. In 2 years. But last month, September 2011, I had 2,521 downloads. Now, I only had 14 episodes in the first place. So I think that averages out to, let me do a little math here, 2,521 divided by 14. Yeah, 180 downloads per episode. 2 years. So this is one of the things that makes podcasting different than radio. And it drives me nuts when people try to sell advertising like it is radio. It's not. Because if somebody had advertised back in 2009 when that episode aired, they would have had 180 people a month listen to their advertising. Where when you advertise on radio, once it's on, it evaporates. It's gone. You're not going to hear it unless you're Marty McFly and you can go back in time. It's not going to happen. So, and then the other thing is you have a niche. Podcasting are really getting super duper niche. We're going to talk about Kevin Mulrine is doing a podcast about the band Yes. Now, here's the interesting thing. Kevin may never have, but he might, the way things are going here, he may never have 50,000 people listening to his podcast. But the people that find his podcast are going to go, oh my gosh, I love the band Yes. Because here's the thing about the band Yes and the band Rush. You either love them or you hate them. And when you love them, you go, oh, I love this band. And they're just going to geek out on Yes. It's amazing. So if you are the band Yes and you have a new album out, where are you going to promote it? Are you going to promote it on a radio station to a bunch of people that are listening to Lady Gaga and Justin Timberlake and whoever? Or maybe you ought to put a little 60-second ad on the Yes Music podcast. Because those people are really going to be likely to buy your album. So don't underestimate the power of the niche, especially when it comes to podcast advertising. I talk about this a lot in my book, More Podcast Money, which you can find out at More Podcast Money, which I do want to talk about. Apparently, in the process of switching up my theme over there, somehow it broke my buy button. So if you've tried to buy More Podcast Money, it's only $19.99 and the book never goes out of date. You can read more about that at More Podcast Money. But apparently when I was switching things around, it broke the button. So kind of funny that a podcast about monetization, yeah, kind of broke down in the monetization book. But it actually works now. And it also works if you hate PayPal. I have two ways of paying there. You can do either one. And the other thing, since we're on the concept of monetization, I want to point out in our last episode, We talked about everything you wanted to know about iTunes, and we talked about Libsyn versus Blueberry, and I do want to add a couple points on that. Number one, I got a comment from Todd Cochran. He left this out on the website, and he said, don't forget that the Blueberry Network also allows you on devices like the Roku Box, Boxy, Looky TV, okay, and Samsung Smart TV, and a host of other devices. Yeah, that network is really growing to get you into, especially if you're on a video platform. You can really get into people's living rooms, which is amazing. So keep that in mind, Todd. Thank you very much. And so it's not, because I'd mentioned that, yeah, Blueberry is a little more expensive. They do have these other outlets. And of course, they have money-making opportunities over there as well. Now, the other thing I wanted to point out, because I've kind of been mentioning how Podbean had just kind of blown me off as a host. Well, I finally got an answer from them. Remember I said I couldn't even get them to acknowledge where they were? I got an email from Dave at the Podbean team. He says, currently we don't have a staff available for interview. Podbean was founded in Montreal, Canada. We are a group of tech geekers who love to use the tech solution to give best low-cost service to users. That is an exact quote from the email. Regards, a David at the Podbean team. And so I went, okay, so they were founded in Montreal, and people who manage podcasting, right, and hosting, but they don't have 15 minutes to talk to someone who has an audience filled with people who are interested in podcast hosting. Does anybody else find that just a little odd? So Podbean is off my radar. It's either Libsyn or Blueberry in my book. And we talked about that in the past episode. All right, next up. I forgot to mention this at the beginning of the show. A little twist on podcast equipment. I wanted to talk about the Zoom H2N. The H2 is a big, popular portable recorder from the Zoom company, and you can actually pick one of those bad boys up. I think those are going for like $130 now, something like that. And they came out with a Zoom H2N, and it's sexy. It's all black and it's very cool. Let me tell you the differences here. There's more microphone options. I'm not sure. I guess that works if you're going to use it as a portable recorder. But if you're using it like I use it, which is basically the line in, but the old Zoom, just the H2 had great microphones. I remember when Fred Castaneda from The Struggling Entrepreneur interviewed me with one of those, and I was amazed at how well it sounded. So they give you actually more microphone options. One of the options is you can now plug in an external mic and mix that sound with the actual mics on the recorder. So if you want to get some ambiance sound, you can do that. Then an increase in battery life, up to 20 hours now, which is really amazing. And then, of course, I bought my Roland R-05. I bought it because it had a big display, which is about an inch and a half. And of course, this one comes out with a 1.8 inch display. And of course, the Zoom H2 is really, really versatile. You can use it as a USB interface. You can use it, obviously, as a portable recorder, and you can use it as a line in. Very, very cool stuff. Plus, it has a microphone input that if you have the little eighth inch adapter, you can plug a microphone into it. A great improvement, they now have a one-button record. It used to be you would have to hit the record button once to put it in standby and one more time to record. Now you just hit one button, record, and it's going. They have another new feature called data recovery. So if you have one of those, oh man, my batteries went dead moments, your data is actually going to be recovered when you put the batteries back in and let it go on its way. You can record up to 32 gigs. That's not really new, but it does come with a 2-gig card now, which is nice. And in the past, you had a high, medium, and low setting for recording levels, and now you have a dial that you can adjust actually while you are recording. That's the good stuff. The bad news is it used to be when you bought the H2, it included a windscreen, a power cable, a stand, a microphone adapter, and it was basically around $150, I think, is what it was going for. And the H2N is now listing at $199. And you're like, okay, well, I get all this cool new recorder, and I'm sure I still get, of course, the windscreen, power cable stand, a microphone adapter, and all that other stuff. No, you don't. So that's kind of where I go, really? Now, if you want the, you can get a windscreen, a remote control, a stand, a case, very, very cool additional pack. It's $39. So your total price now for the H2N is going to be $240. Now, with this in mind, why not go, since you're only going to buy a portable recorder really once, unless you're like me, of course, and throw it across the room by accident, why not just get the H4N, and now you've got $299, and you've got the ability to plug XLR inputs into it, quarter-inch inputs into it. Not as good a battery life on the H4N, but it looks like a really, really cool recorder. I do have a note in to the people over at Zoom to see if I can get a one in my hands just to play with, so I will keep you posted on that. But if you would like one in your hands, this is new. Can I have your attention? If you're listening in the car or something in your queue, this is a new, it's an announcement. You can actually buy one of these from me. I am now a podcast equipment reseller. So if you have something you're looking for, email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. Let me know what it is, and I will whip up a quote, and we will get you into the podcasting gear that you are looking for. All right, next up, we have an interview with Kevin Mulrine. He does the Yes Music podcast, and I want to talk about this because this is not my normal audio quality. When I was recording this, my wife was leaving for a trip to South Carolina to visit our stepdaughter, who is there away on college. And to make a long story short, they were doing laundry in the back, and it wasn't a case where I could say, hey, can you turn that off, because they were leaving in a certain amount of time, and they didn't want to go in wet clothes, as you might imagine. So you'll hear the interview, you'll hear some things like that, and I actually cut the interview a little short because at one point my wife started taking a shower, and I just went, okay, this sounds horrible, which is actually good, because what I want to play you is the beginning of episode 2 of the Yes Music podcast, where Kevin talks about his community and how rapidly it is building up. So here is my interview with Kevin Mulrine. You can find him at yesmusicpodcast.com. He is a graduate of my free podcast bootcamp, which I might be talking about in the future. If you're looking to start a podcast, as always, you can go over to schoolofpodcasting.com. We've got step-by-step tutorials. We've got resources for music and graphic and everything else you need. And if you're stumbling over what the heck an RSS feed is and what's iTunes and what's FeedBurner and what's all this stuff, it all gets explained in pristine, crystal clear language. No techno babble jargon at the schoolofpodcasting.com. And you can end up just like Kevin now with a brand new podcast. Here's my interview with Kevin. Well, joining us from across the pond, as they say, new podcaster, Kevin Mulrine. Kevin, thanks for coming on the show.
It's great to be here, Dave. Nice to see you.
He went through the free podcast boot camp and came out the other end with a new podcast. So, Kevin, why don't you tell us a little bit about your podcast?
Okay, yes, we'll do. It's called the Yes Music Podcast. I've been a lifelong fan of the progressive rock group Yes. And when I was thinking around for what on earth I could do a podcast about, I knew it had to be something that I was passionate about, that I'd been involved with, you know, almost every day of my life for over 25 years. And what, you know, struck me as the best thing, the thing that I could talk about for a long time, was Yes. It's very niche. You know, there aren't many people out there, it seems, who, although I've discovered quite a few now, who share this passion for this particular band. So I've been thinking about Yes, playing their music, enjoying their music for so long, going to concerts occasionally when I could afford to do so and when the band was playing in Britain, but never really connecting properly, even online, with other Yes fans. So I thought, what can I do to make those connections and to see if other people are actually thinking the same as me about the band? The best thing to do would be to set up a podcast so I could say some things and see who agrees with me and who doesn't. So that's where the idea came from.
Awesome. I know as soon as I saw your, you know, your website. And what is your website, by the way, if anybody wants to come join you?
Well, it's simply yesmusicpodcast.com.
There you go. I love that. Plain, simple. You pretty much know exactly what it's about when you hear it. And as soon as I saw that, I have a friend of mine. His name is George Robb, and he's a huge just Yes fanatic. And I was like, oh, George, it's just starting. I said, but you got to go check out this podcast. So, and I'm sure that's what's going to happen is as soon as, you know, one person finds it. This is an example of, you know, that's a podcast that may never have, you know, whatever, 10,000 subscribers. It may. You never know. Mm. But it's something that the people that find it are going to go, oh, I love Yes. They're going to go, this is, I've been waiting for this podcast to happen. So it'll be awesome. So,
well, I have got a little bit of feedback already. I mean, I only really launched it a few days ago. One of the other things that I spent a lot of my life doing over the past few years is using Twitter. And Twitter has been a fantastic source of followers for, mm-hmm. for Yes Music at Yes. Well, I've called it at Yes Music Podcast, the Twitter account. Mm-hmm. And I thought of a ways to try and encourage people to join and to subscribe to the podcast through Twitter. So what I did was I went to Yes's official Twitter feed on twitter.com/ Yes Official or whatever it is. And I looked at the people who were following that account. So I knew these people were already interested in Yes. With the Yes Music Podcast account on Twitter, I followed the same people as were following the official Yes broadcasts. And that's where a lot of the audience has come from so far. And I've had some very nice comments from folks already about the idea and, you know, encouraging me. And it's been really, really good.
What were some of the hurdles you kind of came across when you started your podcast?
Well, the technical hurdles, I mean, that's why the podcast boot camp that you did was so good. Although I've messed around in WordPress before, and I've even tried to set up, you know, the audio, the podcasting plugins and so on that we talked about on the boot camp. I've never really put it all together properly. So following your really good tutorials really made it make sense to me. And of course, you've done all this sort of thing so many times that it just joined up all the dots. I mean, the biggest technical hurdle I had really was understanding the relationship between FeedBurner and the plugin, PowerPress plugin on WordPress, because there are so many different places that you can put in different aspects of the feed and the album art and all that. Putting that together, I was really struggling with, but as you walked us through it, it seemed to make a lot more sense. So that was really good.
That's the way it works. So what kind of equipment are you using right now? You sound great.
Well, I'm quite pleased with it, actually. I was concerned about it because all the podcasts about podcasting that I've listened to have been slightly wary of USB microphones, and that's what it is that I'm using here. The only microphone that looked to me with my untrained eye as if it was a serious microphone, we have a company called Maplin in Britain. And they've just opened up a new shop where I live, so it's been really nice to go down there and have a look at what they've got. So they had this USB microphone, which, as I say, looked to me like a serious one. Now, as I know a bit more, after having listened to podcasts and looked at websites and so on, I may not have gone for this one, but it's a Pro Sound USB microphone, and it costs in sterling, in good old GBPs, it costs about £35-40, which is the bottom end of the market, really. So I'm using that. And as I say, I was concerned that wasn't going to give me what I needed. It's a condenser microphone, and so it does tend to pick everything up. So I had some problems with that initially. But I was quite pleased with the quality I got from my episode naught, which I recorded the other day. And it seemed to be okay. I am looking at upgrading, particularly with a USB mixer, as soon as I can, and then looking at some better microphones, but money is not it's not free flowing around here at the moment, so I've started off as well as I can, really.
Well, that's it. You got your toe in the water, and really right now I think you sound fine. You know, when you said condenser microphone, I actually took my headphones and I squished them on my head, and I'm like, I don't really hear a whole lot of background noise, and I don't really think, I know there are other people that are really, they just go insane when they hear background noise. And to me, it's like, hey, as long as you're on and I can hear you and understand you, that's fine.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin, thank you so much for your time. Here's what I loved about that interview. I've always said podcast promotion really boils down to this. It's not easy, but it is simple. It's simply find out where your audience is. So you have to kind of understand who your target market is. In his case, Yes fans. Find out where they are. In this case, at the official Yes Twitter page. And tell them about your podcast. So where's your target audience? Go there. Tell them about your podcast. That is podcast promotion. Doesn't matter if it's flyers, sample CDs, whatever. Go to where your target audience is and tell them about your podcast. Preferably not in a way that's very spammy, which it sounds like Kevin did beautifully. Just kind of, oh, by the way, I'm starting a podcast. And now wait till you hear in episode 2 how this community, remember how I said there is an audience waiting for you to start your podcast? Listen to this. This is amazing.
Welcome to episode 2 of the Yes Music Podcast, one fan's exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band. I'm Kevin Mulryan, your host, and it's been quite a week since I recorded episode 1. Twitter followers, subscriptions, comments, altogether it adds up to a building community, which is absolutely fantastic, especially as this is only episode 2. So I'm going to do something now which I'm not going to do every episode, but it's been such a significant week that I'm going to see if I can mention as many people as I can who've been part of that community building activity. So I'm really sorry if I miss anyone out. Please contact me if I've missed you out, and I'll make sure I mention you in the next episode. So comments on the website have been from people like Sergio, from some people's names I don't even know, from Ad Tradzuko, from Mike Murphy, and from Thomas Dobson, who points out that Astral Traveller, which we're going to talk about in a minute, might be the best precursor to what Yes was going to be, Tony Kaye and Peter Banks setting the template. Nick Daffis, Michael Williams, and Rick Dante needs a special mention of danteprog.com. And if you don't know that website, get over there. It's absolutely fantastic, particularly as Rick has been kind enough to put a banner ad on it for the Yes Music Podcast. Thanks very much for that, Rick. And I'm just waiting for Rick to get one over to me, and I'll do that reciprocally on the Yes Music Podcast site. Paul Wilson also made a comment, and he's been out and bought Yes, after listening to last week's from iTunes, which was fantastic. And he points out that Danny Baker even played No Opportunity Necessary, No Experience Needed, which we'll be talking about in a minute, on BBC London between 3 and 5 p.m., which is fantastic news. Maybe not as a result of hearing the Yes Music Podcast, but you never know. Conversations have been brilliant also on Twitter, and I'm going to mention a lot of people on Twitter now, just very quickly. Mark Toner, again, he needs special mention because he was kind enough to mention the Yes Music Podcast on Facebook Yes page, the official Facebook Yes page, because I'm not a member of Facebook at the moment. I won't go into why not at the moment, but if you want to ask me about that, I'm happy to give you my feelings.
Okay, and I don't mean to be rude here, but I'm going to keep talking just so you can hear how Kevin is continuing to talk about all these people that are now helping to build that community. If you're looking to start a podcast, I am here to help you. I am a teacher. I have 20 years of teaching people technology, and I don't understand because, you know, if you have a toothache, you don't go to your mechanic, and if you go to learn something, why would you go to somebody who's not a teacher? That is my specialty. I can make things super easy for you to understand and get you going in the right direction, and then you can be building your own community. You can be getting the word out about your product and your services. Here's the great thing about it. Those people that are listening to Kevin's podcast
on the blog, which is fantastic, at Tuskman Blue, at Space Station M, at Beatwood Mac, at Mike Conway, at Ranch 42,
may have been sitting there thinking they're all alone. Nobody else likes this type of music. And Kevin has come along and they went, oh my gosh, I'm not alone. There are others just like me. That is one of the powers of podcasting. You could be seen as an expert. That it's not really, there are all sorts of ways that podcasting can help. And I'm going to work on that. That's one of the things I'm going to be working on for a YouTube video. All the different ways that you can benefit from a podcast. I am here to help you. Schoolofpodcasting.com. I will see you over there, and I will see you on the inside. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again real soon with another episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. Until then, Class is dismissed. Now don't be tardy. Comes out to, I think, 180. Oh, stupid calculator. 2521 divided by 14 equals SOP 276. Today I'm going to talk about why podcasting is about 2,000 times better than radio. And we're going to interview Kevin Mulrine. He's a brand new podcaster. And wait till you see what happened, or in this case here. Doggone it.